happened to the houses that were here in your garden?
Yes. Well, they'd been demolished before we had anything to do with it.
Right.
In fact, Mr. McConaughey told me that after he'd demolished the Royal Oak, he left the gable up against Bobby Dalglish's house and shop. Well, not Bobby's house, it was Willie's house.
Mm-hmm.
Willie Dalglish and Bobby underneath in the shop. That gable was left up, and Willie and his wife had a little window that looked out of the gable and looked right over our empty site. And we were apologising to them that we'd be blocking off their window, and they were very good about it. They said, oh, well, it really shouldn't be there anyway, so, you know, delighted to have something there, and Bobby was delighted to have something that might bring more customers to his shop, which it did. And anyway, Jack McConaughey said that the neighbours had been complaining that damp was coming in and this gable was going to have to come down. So he got the gable pulled down, and at that point they discovered that the house up the hill had been built after the Royal Oak, and they just built up against it and left cupboards with no back. So in Willie Dalglish's shop, all the Missy's dresses were swinging in the breeze through the open window, and down below all the cigarettes were falling out onto the building site. And that all had to be bricked up, of course. And interestingly enough, when they were putting street lights in, they also discovered in that sort of area in Bobby's shop the old gas meters from when there was street gas in the village. I've no idea where the old meter is, but perhaps Alec could tell you. When we bought the site, there were windows in the upstairs cupboard and brickwork in Bobby's shop. And I know that the architect looked at that wall and thought, it's bulging a bit. I think we'll just take a little bit of space. So again, our house shrunk a little bit because our walls are a good distance away from the gable of number 11, I think it is now.
I should be able to tell you that, but
the numbers are chaotic.
The numbers in Montgomery Street are chaotic. Paul Noon Street's all right, but from what we have gathered, I've actually got a note of all the shops that were in the village. And going back, and I think we've got about 126 owners of shops in the village. And it's, you know, it gets changed every day. You know,
Well, when Marlies and I got married, we, you know, this house wasn't ready. We had been practicing in the old police house. The police station was at number 8, Paul Noon Street, and it was the first of the council's new development. So it was set back 35 feet from the centre of the highway, basically a brick building with the brick facing showing, big horizontal steel framed windows, and stairs coming straight out from the front door onto the pavement. And the policeman who lived in it had complained bitterly that it was a very cold, damp house. The police department had decided it was unfit for habitation and decided they would build a new police station. And of course, since it was built, Eaglesham had become a preserved planned village,
mm-hmm.
and this was an eyesore in it. Visiting planners would be shown round Eaglesham, and they'd say, "Who on earth allowed this?" to the planning department that were showing them round. And the planning department had to say, "Well, actually, we did, and we were going to knock everything else down, but we changed our mind." Miss Spittle, in fact, was the pioneer who made a big thing about that, and of course Nina Davidson,
mm-hmm.
who lived in the Cheese House, is it? And
sure.
I think that was it. It's
mm-hmm.
the one with Kelgo, Jean Kelgo, above the door.
Robert Keogh.
Yes.
And
somebody else.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And Kath White, who lived next door to
yes.
her, and John Wallace, of course,
mm-hmm.
got involved, and
mm-hmm.
they really. But Miss Spittle was a power behind the scenes in the planning department, and
right.
really supported this very strongly.
Mm-hmm.
When we were living in the police house, our next door neighbour, Barita Hill, was a very welcoming neighbour, a lovely lady, and she had obviously cultivated the police people who came in and helped her with her husband, who was old and frail and whose grocer's shop was now closed, and things like that.
Tell me, the old gentleman, he was Jimmy Hill as well, and he lived up Paul Noon Street, and he had been a Japanese prisoner of war. Is that a connection there?
Well, their son, Jim Hill, was called up when he was 19, was captured at Singapore,
mm-hmm.
was in Changi Jail, and he after that, he was liberated and brought back, he was working down somewhere near Manchester, I forget exactly, for quite a while.
Right.
And then when he retired, he came up and lived in Montgomery Street, just up above Croft House,
right.
top story there. And
mm-hmm.
He wrote a book all about his experiences, unknown to the Emperor, which we've got a copy of. He gave me one.
That was a book that he couldn't get a publishing company
yes,
to take on,
yes,
is that right?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And it's very interesting.
I'm sure it is. Sure it is. Uh-huh. He was a lovely gentleman.
Yes,
I can
yes,
remember him
yes.
coming
mm-hmm.
to see us quite
and
often.
And he, you know, I remember Sidney Laird sort of telling me that Jim Hill would be laying the wreath at the ceremony, and I sort of said, "Oh, Rita would be pleased." Oh, did you know Rita? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them are dead. Well, Mrs. Hill died. I
mm-hmm.
remember that. Mr. Hill, he lived for a while after
oh,
that.
No, I think he was gone before her.
Well, he gone. It was the other
yes.
way around.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think so.
Right. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But. Can you remember what the cross keys,
mm-hmm.
How do I explain this? They used to call the first bit at Montgomery Square, they used to call the spit bar because it was sawdust, it was all over the floor.
I was never in that.
No, neither
no.
was I, but I was just told about it.
Yeah, no.
And then the next bit was the actual lounge,
mm-hmm.
and then they had
this is the old Eglinton Arms. Oh no, the cross,
no,
keys.
Cross keys.
Cross keys.
And then there was the bit that was slightly higher
mm-hmm.
that they used for people who had been for a meal.
Mm-hmm.
Now there was a bit at the end of that, and old Mrs. Young stayed in one of the houses, and that's where Sydney was born, number
yes.
five.
Yeah, well, when we came here, there was, yes, there was. One, two, three, four houses.
Mr. Patrick.
Mr. Patrick.
He was downstairs with the front door on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were the Gilchrists
mm-hmm.
and Pat
Fraser.
And Simon Fraser up above, and the Jimisons
down
below.
And the sentry box toilet out
mm-hmm.
back on the landing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was four houses.
Right.
And Sydney was born in one of them, wasn't
he? Was born in number 5.
Right.
Sydney
Laird.
Sydney Laird? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He was
right.
born there, then they moved over to
mm-hmm.
Paul Noon Street.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in Paul Noon Street for quite a while. And then his father built the house down on Glasgow Road.
Mm-hmm.
But by that time, Sydney
mm-hmm.
was growing up
mm-hmm.
and that. And of course he had the yard,
mm-hmm.
yes.
the back.
Yes.
But the Lairds had quite a lot of property in
mm-hmm.
the village.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he was speaking to me, you know, he said, oh, my dad was built
yes.
that, and so-and-so was the architect
yes.
for that.
Yes.
And, you know, and
mm.
he
yes.
super. It was super.
Yes.
Those people were still here when you came into the village, in that bit.
Yes.
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 What
mm-hmm.
what date did you come into the village?
Starting the surgery in 63. Thinking of Sydney, if I remember aright, he told me that the first funeral that he organised was his father's. He hadn't thought to go into that line, but when his father died, he made his own coffin for him, and then thought, you know, this actually could be a good business, because you know, he ran it all from his workshop, which
mm-hmm.
is, you know, the back of Montgomery Square.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And quite a few of the folk that are still around in the village worked for him and did apprenticeships with
yes.
him.
Yes, uh-huh, there's quite a few
yes.
of them. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
The house, Sandra's house
mm-hmm.
there, what was at that side? Was that the was that
there was
the bakery?
A bakehouse. There's, yes, you can just about see where the bakery was. There's that bit in the wall which was a bit of the oven sort of
right.
work. The bakery would be probably in the bit that's sticking out underneath her new sort of gable window.
Right.
There's a bit that's set back, and then John Wallace added on this big extension.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a lovely house.
And that went in 1990. No.
No. She
92,
talked about
92.
Sandra talked about the next plot of ground. And her and her husband bought it because they didn't want Andy to come in and build a house in it. Can you remember who that belonged to?
Well, not who owned it when they lived in it. It for a while was the wee cottage that Sandra is talking about
uh-huh.
was the one that she was born in.
Uh-huh, Lottie's.
Lottie's shop,
uh-huh.
yes. And it was something else as a shop beforehand, Marlies would tell us. A young man was planning to do up the cottage, and he just ran out of money, and that's when it sort of went on the open market, and they put in a bid really to try and yes to stop it being
stop.
Taken over for major development.
Yeah, just get the land.
Much to her surprise, she got it. It was all very much on the same few,
right?
Because that may well have been a double few, but because I think it's quite a bit wider than this one.
I've only been in it at it once,
mm-hmm.
so I never
yes,
really got.
Uh-huh.